Welcome to the Yak Sports Podcast with Joe Deck and Lila McCray.
Leland, it's that time of year, but before we start talking brackets and college basketball and all that jazz, Riverhead's off to a good start in the spring with baseball and softball. And
a couple different sports.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the baseball team, they're the only undefeated baseball team with a 2-0 start. They got a nice win over Allegheny and then a big rocking over James River. So they play the same teams this week. I'd expect the James River game this week to, you would project maybe would go similarly, or at least with a W. Allegheny probably another good test. So that'll be interesting to see if they can keep that up and kind of build up their confidence before district season. Everybody else, it felt like those first two nights of the season, it seemed like everybody started with a loss in baseball. I think Waynesboro actually did get a win, but then they fell after that. So, you know, everybody's getting tested. That is just, that first night was kind of rattling, just kept seeing kind of big numbers, Gap getting kind of handled and stuff like that. I saw tonight, Monday night here, Wilson got really handled by Spotswood. And so that's something that Wilson doesn't like seeing, you know, a traditionally good baseball program playing a 3C team and kind of getting handled there is not something you want to see. So that's been the interesting stuff there for baseball and softball. Riverheads, again, also undefeated with a win over Allegheny. And that was a blowout. But Gap also undefeated. Gap's the team we kind of talked about as, you know, maybe how deep can they go, because softball program has been good out there and then the class one aspect. So we'll see what we get there. And then boys tennis, I really do think it's going to come down to Wilson and Riverheads again. It's really what everybody's projecting. Wilson did fall to TA already this season, and that's a matchup they usually win. They usually are kind of undefeated at the end of the season going into the playoffs. So we'll have to watch if Wilson's kind of at the same form. But Riverheads has started out well with a 2-0 record and a big beatdown of Stewart's Draft. And Stewart's Draft is a team that has challenged Riverheads these last couple of years. I think Riverheads has mostly gotten the upper hand there, but Stewart's Draft's been right there with them and playing them in the postseason. Because I know the tennis all gets drawn in, class one and two all got drawn together. So good starts for a lot of Riverhead sports. I know that sounds Riverhead-centric, but I kind of just went looking through the standings and score following, and Riverheads has had the advantage early. But it all, you know, everybody's going to get challenged throughout the season. I'm really looking forward to district season starting here in just a couple weeks.
Yeah, that'll be interesting when that gets there. But, you know, still early in the spring season. We'll have plenty of time to talk about spring
really
stuff when it gets unfolding a little more. But let's go to what everybody is really talking about, which is obviously it's right after Selection Sunday. So everybody knows the brackets. Everybody knows who's in the NIT and WBITs and whatever. So let's start talking about it. You know what? Let's talk women first and knock that out. Tech, they got a 4 seed. They get 2 home games. I'm not worried about Marshall as much, but Baylor might be a problem.
Yeah, and we watched that Marshall-JMU game a week ago. I know we were texting while we were both watching it. And they're going to try to make it an ugly game against the Hokies. Now, the Hokies are stronger at guard. They got one of the best guards in the country with Georgia Moore there. And so I'm not scared of them.
Right.
But they'll try to make it ugly in a dirty game. But I do think you know, I just don't think that'll be that big of a problem for the Hokies. But I agree with you. Baylor is a program. We talk about Kim Mulkey and, you know, winning national championships. The S is because of what she did at Baylor. And she coached people like Griner. And, like, that's where she was before she was at LSU. So she's built that up. It's still a top program. They're a little bit down this year from what they have been. but not super down. And it's definitely a team that can come into Blacksburg. They're coming to Blacksburg expecting to win and knock off the host school. Like, they're going to come in with that attitude. And the Hokies are going to have to play a good basketball game to get past a team like that.
Yep. For JMU, their women's team got the number one overall seed in the WBIT. I mean, for them, they've got a great shot, right? Because they play Stony Brook.
Worked out for them.
Yeah, I think this bracket actually is pretty good. And this is a tournament that they have a shot at winning. It's going to be interesting to see how deep they can go in this. And, of course, this tournament is replacing, in case you're unfamiliar, we're calling it the WBIT because it's the Women's Basketball Invitational Tournament. The WNIT is still a thing. It's a completely separate tournament. Long story short, the WNIT is not like the men's NIT, which is run by the NCAA. It's a private company running that. The WBIT is run by the NCAA. It's new this year to help kind of be that secondary tournament. And programs are opting for that rather than paying a private company to be able to be in a tournament. The WBIT is above the WNIT if you're keeping score at home. And JMU and VCU both in that. Believe UVA is in this as well. I'm not 100% sure about that. Now that I say that out loud, I probably should have checked.
Yeah, I'm going to have to verify that.
But they, for JMU's women, excuse me, this is a tournament that they've got a great shot at winning the way this bracket sets up.
And in all honesty, they were thrown an advantage. Miami was the one seed of the whole thing. And then I guess late to the conversation of, hey, we don't want to play. So they needed to get substituted for, and James Madison was sitting there and they shoved him in there. So while you look at that and you think, wow, you're just going to shove them right where the one seed, but well, the one seeds generally get one of the easier treks through a tournament. So yeah, Stony Brook is a team that I would think James Madison would be able to handle. So I think there's room there for JMU to impress us and get some good wins. I know Illinois is out in front of them. Washington's, you know, some big conference teams. But I think JMU, they generally have held their own over a long period of time as a program against a good team. So I'm eager to see how they perform in this and take advantage of some extra postseason.
Yeah. Teams can host all the way up to the semifinals, which are played in Indianapolis at Butler. UVA is in this tournament. I thought they were. I was pretty sure I saw that. And the reason I did see it is because VCU is the equivalent of a four seed in this tournament where they are. I don't know.
Eight.
These are
they're like an eight seed.
Eight seed, excuse me. Yeah, there's 32 teams in this tournament. Had to do quick math. They're going to Villanova. Ironically, the men are also going to play Villanova in the men's NIT tournament. Back-to-back days, a VCU team will play a Villanova team in Philadelphia. For VCU and Villanova, the winner of that game will get the winner of UVA and High Point. St. Joe's is another A-10 team that is in this WBIT this year. George Mason made the WBIT this year. They're an eight seed as well. They'll be playing Penn State. St. Joe's is a three seed. They'll host Seton Hall. I honestly, when you look at this with JMU, VCU, UVA, George Mason, the state of Virginia, well represented in this tournament. And we'll be interested to see how deep these teams can go in this. Georgetown is a team from Washington, D.C. that's in this as well. I think it's going to be interesting. I hope this tournament takes off and does well, because I think it's a better alternative perhaps than the WNIT for a lot of these teams. And the fact that it's a little more organized. The WNIT also was weird in the sense that it was, you know, pick one of 3 days to play your game in this round. You get to choose. Whereas the WBIT is very, the game is on this day. You're playing this day. Everyone's going to play this day.
Yeah.
And it's more uniform in that. I think that's probably better. So I'm hoping that this tournament takes off. Actually, round one of this tournament is the same night as opening night of, you know, quote unquote March Madness. So I will probably be watching on my phone while we watch
I have four TVs set up for March Madness. Traditionally, I'm working on five and six. I've had six set up before. So I'm trying to create options here. Just cause I mean, on the women's side too, there's primetime big tournament games that we need to watch on the women's side. So we need more TVs. So the request has been made by myself, and I'm going to answer that request. So.
Wow. All right. Well, then at 7 o'clock, I would like to be watching VCU and Villanova. Then I will make my official
request.
It
should probably get on there somewhere.
But yeah, so that's the WBIT and the women's bracket. I know we have a women's bracket challenge.
We do. And let's talk about that bracket.
Do you want to talk about
more
ours?
In depth.
Yeah.
We do. And just to be clear of what Joe just said, we have men's and women's bracket challenge. We did last year as well. So sign up on Twitter and Facebook. They're posted. It's Yak YAC podcast is the name. Yak Sports Podcast, excuse me, is the name of the bracket. If you go to search for it, it's an open group. If you sign up, just try to make sure your name is displayed some way, whether if it's your bracket name or if you at least allow Yahoo to show your name below it. That way we can invite you on the podcast if you win. That's the winning person gets that. That's the prize for winning this bracket. So sign up. And if you have any issues, you know, interact with us on social media, or most of y'all know us anyway, so holler at one of us and we'll get you in. But yeah, let's talk about this bracket a little more in depth. We were trying to touch all our teams there, but we started with Virginia Tech. We broke down that side. They're in the same region as USC. I think going into this bracket, when the idea of, you know, Virginia Tech's going to wind up a 3 or 4 seed, likely a 4 seed, you know, USC or Texas was kind of what I was hoping for, just to delay any kind of matchups with like a South Carolina or Iowa or LSU, if we could avoid them. I knew LSU wasn't going to be a 1 seed. And so this doesn't bother me for having a tougher track like we're going to have. And I think Baylor's very capable of coming into Blacksburg and beating us. You know, I like facing USC a little bit better, especially if Kittley's back. I think the only way we get a chance to play USC is if Kittley's back. It's going to be hard for us to get out of Blacksburg without Kittley. We will need her against USC. They have, Juju? I forget her name. Tall girl. And Kittley's going to have to be able to bang around with her. So that's what we'll need there. And then Ohio State's the 2 seed coming out of this, and Connecticut's down there. So it's not all easy running here. And I'm not saying, oh, we got USC, that's the one I'd rather have. There's plenty of teams in that region, because that's what women's basketball is now. There's plenty of teams that can knock a lot of teams off. But I'd just rather have that than playing South Carolina in the Sweet 16. So I'm at least satisfied with that.
Yeah, Juju Watkins. So you were on the right track.
Yeah, Watkins. I just couldn't remember the last name. She's good. She's a good player.
She is. Yeah, I mean, look, the way the bracket is set up, there is a potential for South Carolina to play Southern California in the national championship, which would be a monumental
the
game
battle
for
of USC.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they said this on Levitard, and I like this, and I think if this game does happen in the national championship, where it's South Carolina versus USC, I think we need to treat it as such on this podcast. The winner, we will call USC. The loser is not referred to as that on this podcast until these two schools play again in something.
Yeah, I think a lot of people from California that have probably have the upper hand in that argument for a long time would be quick to argue that all of a sudden, you know, like they've owned it for a long time, I feel like. And it'd be like, all of a sudden, it's like, okay, next hand wins.
Yeah, next hand wins. Next hand wins.
Next basket wins. Here we
yeah.
go.
Yeah. There's all kinds of rivalries like that in high school sports where, you know, that the bridge name gets changed and whichever one gets said first is the one who wins or whatever. Like, so now it's USC. The title of USC is on the line. Yeah. If that's the game. If not, then I'm sorry, South Carolina, you won't get a shot at it. But
I do like when you're talking about South Carolina. They have Notre Dame as the 2 seed in theirs, and also that Nebraska team that's been sneaky this year and really
yeah,
put up a fight against Iowa.
I think that's more of a matchup thing with Iowa.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I do think South Carolina is not going to have the problems against Nebraska.
Right.
I don't think they'll play Nebraska, because I think Notre Dame probably beats Nebraska.
Probably.
Which spoiler alert for where I, how far I have Nebraska going, I guess. But I do think that that's a little bit of Iowa and Nebraska there. My women's bracket is fairly chalk. I took all the one seeds. I did have a doubt on whether to take in my Elite Eight. I had a question. I almost took NC State over Texas, and I thought about Notre Dame over South Carolina, and then I remembered that South Carolina beat Notre Dame by 30 points earlier in the year, and decided to stick with South Carolina.
I get a little less chalky down the stretch. I mean, it's chalk early.
It's chalk Final Four. I've got all one seeds.
Yeah, and I had that last year. I think UCLA, I know USC got them in the Pac-12, but I think UCLA can cause Iowa some problems.
Maybe.
If they're able to get there, they'd have to get LSU to do that, get past LSU. That's an interesting bracket. I mean, that, like, whatever, if Iowa can get there, which
Louisville's sneaky good too.
Would be shocked. Yeah, I would be shocked if they don't. If Louisville's coach can just keep his attitude down. I think that's going to be an interesting game, that LSU Louisville game, because that's where the guard came from. Was she was at Louisville. Now she's at LSU. Lots of attitude on both sides there. Like, that's going to be kind of a must watch round of 32 game to watch. And so look for that.
For JMU fans, Kiki Jefferson at Louisville now.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I'm not sure. My bracket's not showing which day that is, but that's something to watch out for. But I don't know. Just watching this LSU team against Louisville could be interesting. Against them, against a UCLA team could be interesting. And then whoever Iowa gets out of those three teams that we just said, that's going to be interesting. And I mean, Iowa's already must-watch basketball. So that's probably the most interesting bracket. Those are going to all be primetime marquee games on ESPN networks. But that's going to be fun. The one bracket we haven't talked about, Texas is the one seed. They rose up to a one seed late in the game here. They have NC State in that bracket. Gonzaga's women's team has been a pretty good program for a while. Stanford is a traditionally good team. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, I think I keep reinforcing this point. I mean, these top four seeds in like every bracket are pretty good. And a lot of teams that have had success, you know, in the recent memory. So I think this bracket is going to be less. I know you have all four in Final Four. I'm not really trying to direct that you're wrong. I just think I have more optimism that it won't be a chalk Final Four than a lot of years, because I think there's a lot of these challenges. South Carolina, have a lot of faith in them. I can come up with why one seeds will lose every other one. So that's the way I'm looking at it, but you might be right. I mean, we've seen plenty of chalk in the women's bracket. I do think the second tier of women's basketball has gotten a lot more even, and there's more teams in that second tier. I think South Carolina's kind of on the peak of a tier there. I mean, they're out front. That's why they're undefeated in the regular season these last 2 years, and they won national championship team before that. But I'm interested, really interested in this women's bracket and what these one seeds do the second weekend.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an exciting tournament. I just think that we'll get to it with the men's. I think the men's is a little more wide open this year, because it does feel like in the women's game there have been upsets this year and there are close games, but it does feel like the top four teams, at least when it came to those top four seeds, and Notre Dame was a shot at it. Like I said, NC State is a team that you got to look out for, and Stanford is a team you got to look out for. But I do think that eventually when you start getting down to the nitty gritty, I think the one seeds were definitely one seeds this year in the women's tournament. Whereas the men's tournament, I'm not saying, I'll save that comment, but Iowa has a very tough region, and there's a lot of people saying, what is the NCAA doing? You need Caitlin Clark in this tournament as long as possible.
I think they have a tough region. I agree.
Have a tough region.
We've seen them falter through the season.
But I do think for Iowa, I think Elite Eight is, they're going to be there. They're going to be in the Elite Eight. I just don't see any team beating Iowa before then. And then they're going to have to play one of those tough teams, whether it's Louisville or LSU or UCLA.
Yeah.
You only have to play one of those teams. So then you just got to beat that team to get in the Final Four.
Right.
And then USC is going to be good. So,
yeah. We got to have Kitley. That's my number one thing on my personal fandom. We got to have Kitley to get past Baylor. So,
yes.
That's what's got to happen. And then, of course, I'll be rooting for Magic past that. So, all right. Men's bracket.
Okay.
And I have to click buttons because we don't have this saved. But I, for the first time in year, I can't remember the last time I didn't watch the bracket show at 6 o'clock on Sunday. I'll talk about what I was doing instead. And it was awesome. It was a fun time. But yeah, I feel late to this whole party because I didn't sit there and watch Greg Gumbel and whoever else is always on that, Clark Kellogg and all those guys tell me the bracket. So even today, listening to people, I was like, oh, that's a matchup. Like, so I'm having to catch up. I filled out a bracket, and usually I'm a guy that I fill it and leave it alone. But since I was late to the party, I am more open to the idea of making changes ahead of me. Now, you're not going to convince me to change. Stuff you say are going to change. Stuff people on TV say aren't going to make me change. I hear enough talk that I'm going to hear every option given at some point. So, but I might change a couple things before we get to Thursday. But yeah, I don't have chalk over here.
I don't have a lot of chalk. I do, looking at the final four, I've got 2-1 seeds.
Yeah, me too.
I've got an 11 seed.
Woo-wee! Let me guess who it is. My goodness, it's New Mexico?
Nope.
You're not taking NC State. You're not continuing that, are you?
Nope.
Okay, then I'm not with you. I don't think much of Oregon. You must love Duquesne.
It's not Duquesne. No, Duquesne's... Duquesne.
Oregon. All right.
Oregon
had darling.
Oregon had a player get back at the end of the year, and they've been really good since. So, watching them in the Pac-12 championship, I think they're going to be a pretty hard out. And I don't think their region is all that tough. There, I said it.
Huh. I haven't heard Oregon going that deep in a lot of pools.
That's fine.
But
a lot of people are going to be wrong.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to be wrong.
I'll tell you who scares
me. Something like that in your bracket that makes it interesting.
I tell you who scares me, Creighton. If they get past Creighton in the second round, they're aces. Because then they're probably having Tennessee, who I don't believe in. And then Purdue is the one seed. Purdue is the softest team in a tournament ever.
Yeah.
Like, that is a team every year, and I've heard every expert, this is the year. Purdue's not going to miss the Final Four this year. They're definitely making it this year. They suck. When they're in the tournament, they suck.
Yeah, I don't like them. I think they're fake news as well. I have them winning a couple games just because I don't really believe in Utah State or TCU. I don't – Kansas is in trouble. So, like, I feel like they have an easier path for a minute, but I don't think they're coming out of that region.
Purdue? Yeah.
They're not coming out of that region. I think they do make it to the second weekend, but – I think that's where they'll go down. I think they'll get out of the first game, unlike they did last year.
If they lose to, who is that? Grambling or who?
What is the MTSU? It's not Middle Tennessee. Crap.
I don't know. If MTST.
Yeah, some school we hardly know, yes.
If MTST or Grambling beats them, that would be amazing, and I would love it.
Montana State.
Apparently, I clicked something. Oh, Montana State, because I no longer have all my games picked, which is not great.
We're a well-run machine here. So, yeah, I've been down on Purdue all year like you. I actually bet against them in the tournament, the Big Ten tournament, and that helped me financially, so that was nice. So, yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah. So
go over here, stay down there in the West. Carolina's the one seed in the West. Arizona, the two seed. Clemson is a team I've heard a lot of positive about. I know if Barber was on, he'd probably be saying positive things about Clemson because he just says that on his podcast. I don't think Dayton is upset guys this year. St. Mary's is one to watch. They were stronger this year. I would be surprised. I've heard people picking Grand Canyon over them. That would surprise me. But I don't know. I haven't watched a whole lot of Grand Canyon.
I don't have the
four. I know Joe hasn't either, even though he's about to tell me he picked them.
I don't have the four or the five coming out of that region.
I got the one.
I don't have the one. I've got the three.
I do. I got Carolina. I've got because I just no one else in that region has me. I mean, Arizona, I don't know.
They're not beating
Dayton. Other people are higher in Arizona than I am.
They're not beating Dayton. Baylor will beat Dayton. And then okay. Baylor will beat UNC. I'm telling you, that's how it's happening. I'm just telling you.
I don't have much faith in Baylor.
I know I've already said one thing that could possibly be clipped and make me look dumb later when I said Purdue. There's no chance that Purdue gets the Final Four they saw.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm with you, though.
But
I ain't going to clip it.
I'll give them another one that sets me up. This is the easiest thing for me. This is the easiest time I've ever had picking a national champion. It's UConn.
Yeah, I got them too.
I've watched UConn for the past 2-3 weeks, kind of close, just for this reason, looking right. for reasons not to pick them when the bracket comes out.
There's Sean everywhere.
And I don't have a reason. I've watched them. Yeah. I'm like, every single conference game, it's tight at halftime. And then in the second half, it's like they come out, they catch themselves in a mirror walking out, and they're like, oh, that's right, we're UConn. And then yeah. they blow the other team out.
Yeah.
Xavier. Trashed in the second half. St. John's blown out in the second half. And then I don't remember who they played in the championship now, but destroyed in the second half. I mean, it was just annihilation city.
So how far do you have JMU going?
Sweet 16.
Who are they playing there?
Houston.
Yeah, and I got Houston beating them too. Yeah, I also, because I'm doing that, I picked Vermont to beat Duke. And like I have on our notes here, pick a upset that you believe in. I don't believe in that one. I just have Duke losing to JMU anyway. So I might as well try to have Vermont knock them off early. I'll sacrifice that one point. But what is an upset? What's your upset that you're just like fully behind? Like you're going to put money on it on Thursday or Friday. No doubt.
I can't with JMU. Not legally.
Yeah, well, that's hometown. I mean, that's
Oregon. Fine. Oregon beating South Carolina. I'm 100% sure of that.
Well, you have in the Final Four, so that's quite the upset run that you really believe in.
I also like Samford against Kansas. Kansas?
Yeah, Kansas is not good.
Not good.
Who's Samford? You got Samford there?
Yeah. Fred G. Samford. And the G stands for gonna upset Kansas.
Yeah. And that stinks. Like, I really don't like that area. That's my worst. Like, I don't like that area of the bracket because Gonzaga is not what they are this year.
No, I'm either going to really.
Purdue is weak.
Yeah.
And you're going to come out with like one of those two teams probably.
That region is going to make or break my bracket for sure.
Yeah. Because you got Oregon.
Because I don't like any of those teams in that region.
Drake isn't much of an upset, but I really think Drake beats Washington State. And I almost had him against Iowa State. But I do think Iowa State's strong. The other upset darling is going to be NC State for what they just did in the ACC tournament. I think they can carry one game, but that's it.
No, they're not beating Texas Tech. NC State is a great story, but that's one where sometimes when you're watching the conference tournaments, you got to realize what it is. It's a conference tournament. And then they have the little bit of a break, and then it's the NCAA tournament. NC State's not riding that hot mojo in. They're just not. They haven't been that team all year.
Yeah.
Texas Tech is good enough to beat them.
I guess I think I already said the Samford one was the one I really believed in. I forgot that I kind of blew my lead there. So.
Yeah, Fred G. Samford. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Kansas is beat up. So, like, normally, I don't think Kansas full strength would lose that game. But I just think they're done. They would have declined an invite to the NIT. They're that done. Who do you have them playing?
Who? Samford?
Connecticut in the final. Sorry. I skipped back to where
we Houston.
Yeah. That's what I'm showing right now, too, but I don't like it.
I'll
probably get to change that.
That's the popular pick, and I think it's the popular pick for a reason. I think those are the two best teams in the country. Yeah.
I was trying to be high on Marquette, but they did lose those guys. So, like, they're not going to do anything. I think the whole reason I was trying to do that was just because it's Shaka Smart and it pissed you off.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they lost the guys. So
I almost picked them to get upset early, and then I realized I needed to not pick that just because of Shaka Smart being the coach, and then I picked them to go another round.
What is that? Colorado?
I almost picked them to lose there.
Yeah.
Almost. What region are they? Are they in the East?
So I think one local team that we haven't focused on yet is UVA. They actually made the tournament. I think going into the weekend, with them losing on what, Thursday?
Yeah.
Friday. Mm-hmm. People thought, okay, they're gonna be out. Well, they make it, they make that play-in game. That's why we're the only ones talking about the bracket on the podcast tonight, because we were supposed to have Barber on, but he's mid-flight right now. We hope to have him next week. But he's, you know, doing his job. But UVA, and I like that UVA made it for two reasons. This sounds weird. I just said weird things. I like that UVA made it. One, it's the additional ACC team. I like that for the conference. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And number two, I know they've already set a high bar here, but they can lose even earlier in the tournament than they have previously. They can set a new mark for losing early in the tournament. Tuesday, they can go home.
They're not.
So that's
home.
Just a glorious thing that can happen for them. So I'm really excited about their opportunities and blazing new paths in this tournament, and just pleasing me in the tournament, because they've done such a good job at making me happy. They took me to the far maddest I've been at this tournament, and then they're working my way back, making me happy every year. It's so nice.
Well, get ready, Jeff. UVA is beating Colorado State, and then they're going to beat Texas.
No.
Yeah. Texas is fake.
That's fine.
You know what Tony Bennett has to do? You know what? You know all Tony. Well, yes, because Colorado State is from the Mountain West, which is a conference that, despite getting all the respect in the world, every time they're in a tournament game, lose. So all Tony Bennett has to do when they play Texas is get on a little bit of a run, look over at their coach, and flash him the horns down. And then Texas will immediately melt down, lose their minds, and lose the game. I have never seen a softer basketball team in my life than when someone gives them the horns down. They just immediately freak out. Like, you have just, like, slapped their mom on national TV. It's insane.
Yeah.
Show some respect. Like, dude, get over yourself.
It's not like they're, like, doing the down. Holy Cross or anything. It's not like it's not,
could you imagine somebody's playing Liberty and they just like bring out a picture of the devil? Like,
yeah, it's like that's not what we're doing here. It's horns down. Live with it. Stop making the horns up even a thing. Yeah. And no one will have anything to do. Like, it's,
or I guess Grand
anyway.
Canyon. Grand Canyon fits that bill. Aren't they a private Christian school? Maybe someone when they're playing the Antelopes, they just, you know.
I don't know, dude. Hey, honestly, I don't want to go into specifics. But I was at Radford when Liberty and Radford were in the same conference, and there was plenty.
Yeah, we lots of non-Christian
the bottom
things,
of the barrel
I'm
for
sure.
things to yell during those basketball games. And they'd always bring fans. They would bring fans to Radford. And, we didn't hold back. So
I'm sure.
And they had plenty of stuff for Radford.
But I just think that, I've already said Oregon is my surprise team in the Final Four this year. Outside of that, it's a little chalky with 1-1-3 outside of the Oregon being an 11. But we'll see how this plays out. If you have somebody other than UConn, kudos to you. You're braver than I am.
I just hope it's not Purdue for your own sake.
I know it's not going to be Purdue.
If you listen to us and you have Purdue as your champion, I don't know why you're still listening to us.
Yeah, Purdue has about as much of a chance of winning the national championship as Robert F. Kennedy does of becoming president. Like, those are one and the same.
I feel like they got like an easy track. That's what upsets me.
That they did get a very easy track. They got what Caitlin Clark should have gotten in terms of like the softest seeds being thrown in their region. But what's going to kill Purdue
have 11
is
coming out of there. That's how soft you think it is.
Yeah, but that's what's going to kill them is as soft as it is, they're still going to fail. And you know why? Because if Edie doesn't have an amazing game, they have no shot of winning. And Purdue is just not that good. I've watched Purdue lose too many times. They lost to a 16 seed, for crying out loud, last year. Like, if they play a team that's on, they're in trouble. In fact, I'm not even sure. I'm not even 100% sure they're going to get to Oregon in the Elite Eight.
So they lost to a 16 seed before. That happened once before, right?
Yeah, and I know. They're already saying, oh, this is just like when UVA lost. They went on to win the national championship. I'm like,
Purdue,
well,
ain't doing it.
Okay, cool story. Purdue sucks, though. Like, the problem is UVA was actually good that following year. Purdue.
Is Tony Bennett coaching Purdue?
No.
He's not. So they'll be all
right. Purdue's going to lose. They're going to don't win that region. Like, that's exactly what they will not be doing.
All right. Anything more about that? Right. Yeah.
I don't know. We got Vince and IT stuff.
No, I don't. The Virginia Tech is playing Richmond. I'm not going to break down that bracket.
Oh, it's a big game. Spiders up. No, I'm actually not rooting for the Spiders.
I was going to say, if you were seriously saying that, then
I think I would get fired if I actually meant
move to Richmond, please.
I would actually get fired if I meant that, I think. No, Virginia Tech hopefully takes care of Richmond.
Is Spiders up an actual, like, thing?
I don't think it is. I think it would be impossible for it to be that. I don't know. Get Webby? I don't know. I think it's actually, their hashtag is One Richmond. But now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know. It doesn't matter. They're losing to Virginia Tech, hopefully. Although Virginia Tech's not great, so who knows. As I mentioned, VCU's men's team is in this. That's where I'll really be paying attention. They are hoping to upset Villanova, as the men are also an 8 seed. Playing at Villanova. So hopefully they upset Villanova. We mentioned,
I haven't even looked at the bracket.
Yeah,
I had to look up who they were playing.
Virginia Tech. And then I think that's it for the state of Virginia in the men's NIT. Not as much representation. But that's because JMU and UVA are in this.
Yeah.
So there's that.
I am looking at this for the first time.
Loyola, Chicago, and Richmond are in the NIT. Those are
and they're playing the finals of that at Hinkle Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, too. So no more Madison Square Garden for the NIT. How about that?
That's probably fine.
Yeah, it's different. All right, what other news was out there that we need to talk about? Like, relevant news, not like Aaron Rodgers news. Like, something that's worth talking about. I did stay out of the, like, I was paying attention to conference tournaments over the weekend, but like I just wasn't up on the news. We were busy all day, every day. You kept texting me things and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Ron.
And then I would text people and you'd be like, someone said that an hour ago.
Yeah. Ron did call Justin Fields becoming a member of the Steelers.
Yeah.
I'm a little less excited about that, 'cause I actually think Justin Fields might not be terrible.
I think he has potential. I don't like Russell Wilson. I have never liked Russell Wilson. I knew when he was a recruit coming out of the private school out of Richmond and he was going to NC State. I knew who he was then. And it's just something from then on. I just wasn't rooting for him. Didn't like him at NC State. He does his grad transfer at Wisconsin. I don't like him. He's coming out in the draft. He goes to the Seahawks. I don't like him. He's winning Super Bowls. He's done, played good football. I don't like him. So when he's coming to the Steelers, because I think he's already washed at Denver, I really don't like that. I don't think that benefits what we have in place at Pittsburgh with Pickett still there. I just don't like it. But now that the whole little deal is done, and I didn't think it would get done this quick, when Rob Ron said that the Steelers were going to go get Fields, I didn't think he was wrong. And I think I've said it that I was wrong and he was right. I didn't think he was wrong. I just didn't think it would happen this quick. I thought it would be something with the draft. They were going to still be holding out. What will we have to give up to do that? Kind of worried me. We got it done with a 6th-round pick now.
That's
and so
crazy.
We've addressed the quarterback room in a way that keeps anybody named Duck out of there, which is handy. We're not going forward with the same. Pickett's gone. Duck Hodges has been gone. Trubisky's gone. And the last guy that I keep forgetting his name, Rudolph, he's gone. So we have no reindeer, no ducks in there anymore. And so I'm happy. And at least we have a quarterback in there that some think has potential to play now and be good, and that is Russell Wilson. I don't like him, but I can respect that line of thinking. When you also pair that with a quarterback that I don't believe has gotten a full fair shake in Chicago due to coaching changes, due to everything that's happened there, get him in a stable organization like the Steelers. Let him grow. If it is led by the good things that Russell Wilson does, fine. And so we do have some plan that can work for the future. So, like, in the end, I'm okay with this. I don't like Russell Wilson, but I like Fields enough that I'm good with this. I'm not buying anybody's jersey, but I'm good with it.
Yeah, I was surprised that all they had to give up was a sixth round pick.
Yeah, and then everything's been cheap, and they're not paying Russell anything.
No,
it's been great.
I think it's the league minimum. Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, if I'm the Bears, if all you're getting is a sixth round pick,
just wait to do this.
I don't know why you trade him. Because, yeah. Okay, you're going to draft Caleb Williams. Got it. What if Caleb Williams gets hurt? Not another realm of possibility. Your offensive line's not good. What if Caleb Williams is what I think Caleb Williams is going to be in the NFL? And that's not great. And let's say you find that out like week four. Who you going to?
Yeah, they're going to have to sign some kind of veteran. They're going to have to get Tannehill or somebody.
Or Flacco.
Flacco. Well, Flacco just signed with. Oh, he didn't, did he?
No.
Yeah. Didn't Flacco sign with somebody? He signed with the Jets.
Again? I thought the Jets got rid of him.
Or did I say the Jets? I meant the Giants. But maybe I'm wrong, too, because that's not coming up either. Colts?
Oh,
can I just make up a team?
Yes, he is a Colt. He is a Colt.
Colts, okay. I was seeing Giants blue, but it's Colts blue. Yeah.
Yep. All right, well, then Flacco's not an option, but maybe Tannehill. Maybe, I don't know, someone, anyone. I don't know. The Bears move didn't make sense to me. What I thought was a good offseason up to this point for the Bears, I didn't understand that one. Because now you're definitely locked in on Caleb Williams, who I really don't think Caleb Williams is going to be a success in the NFL. So I just don't see that working out for the Bears. But that's kind of how the Bears have existed. So on the flip side, I guess the Chargers have had an interesting offseason too, where they're unloading everybody not named Justin Herbert and Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa.
Yeah, they replaced their offense. Well,
I guess they're drafting that kid from Michigan that's going to be the running back. I guess that's the plan. I don't know.
Atlanta with getting Kirk Cousins, because I had talked myself in as a Steelers. I was like, what if we could get Kirk Cousins? I think that's better than Pickett.
For that money,
is that going to last? I wanted a long-term solution. I think the Falcons are probably improved at quarterback, but they're not going to do anything with that. Like this isn't some kind of now the Falcons are a playoff team situation. I think they're going to be close to what Minnesota's been. And it's just kind of on the edge. What win some games, you know, 7-8 wins, but like not, oh yeah, they're in the playoffs.
Yeah. And I guess the thought process there is that division's not very good, which is true. But I don't know. I think that number and the Russell Wilson number, I would rather have Russell Wilson at $1 million than Kirk Cousins at, I think the Falcons are paying him $8 million.
But with Justin Fields, I agree too. Like, I just didn't like we didn't have a future.
I don't think Justin
Fields is
your future.
If we're going to have a 2-year plan with Cousins or Russell Wilson, I rather would have had Cousins with a 2-year plan. But we have more than a 2-year plan in place now. So I'm good.
I don't know that Fields is the future either. Fields, I think, has one more year on
his
deal.
You're taking a shot at that being the future. And like 2 weeks ago, we had Pickett as the future.
You're not taking a shot at that being the future unless he gets in this year. And they have already said he is backing up Russell Wilson. So I think that is
I think he's getting in this year. Russell Wilson sucks.
Then he's not the future.
He couldn't play in Denver. Why is he going to play in Pittsburgh?
Then Fields isn't the future. This is the last year of his rookie deal. They're not re-signing him.
I think he's going to play 3/4 of the season.
Fields? No.
Yes.
No.
Okay.
But I also think that I really do think Fields is going to be the backup there. That's it.
I think he's going to start as backup. Yes.
I think he'll end up being the backup.
Well, then we're not making the playoffs.
That's fine. Good. I hope you don't. The Ravens got Derrick Henry.
Somebody's got to run the ball.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I was surprised. We don't usually spend money in free agency on running backs. I guess the thought process there is we do have better wide receivers than we normally have at this point in the offseason, and so let's get somebody to... And this is good news for Derrick Henry, unlike in the past where he's been the only running threat in his backfield. Like, there is another threat, so defenses can't just hone in on him. And if they focus on him, then Lamar can start breaking away, get some nice chunk yards, and then that allows Derrick Henry to get a head of steam before he starts getting to that second level. I don't know. It's fine. The best part about him being on our team is that he's not going to be on another team that we might have to see.
That is a true point with him. Yeah, you don't have to face him.
Apparently, Blake Snell just became a San Francisco Giant.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was listening to this whole thing about how, I guess that was, Kirchin was thinking the Yankees were about to swoop in and get him because of...
Garrett Cole.
Garrett Cole down.
Garrett Cole's down. Aaron Judge is down. The season is down. Blow it up for cash and picks, Yankees fans. Your dynasty is dead. It's Orioles fever.
They haven't been working with a dynasty for some time now, Joe.
Oh, don't tell that to them.
I know they think that, but there was a dynasty, but that's been a while ago. All right. I can't think of any other sports news we got. So let's go to the D-block.
Other than Greg Sankey wants to kill the NCAA tournament, but.
Yeah, let's not talk negative about the NCAA tournament when we have the glorious week of tournament coming at us. It's a holiday week. Let's look at these logos for these teams, and that's something I really enjoy every year. I kind of build my own TV schedule for our setup so I can plan the TVs accordingly, and it just helps me know who's playing and when better, and I try to use some of my graphic design limited ability to do it. And so I'm always pulling up logos that I haven't seen in a long time or are very unfamiliar with. So I'm looking at the Thursday lineup here, and I've also included the play-in games there. So Colorado State and Wagner and Howard and UVA are in there too. And I just wanted to look at these logos and have comments. I'll say that the bear for Oakland up there is aggressive. I appreciate that out of a logo. I appreciate the attempt of aggressiveness in a logo.
I don't know. If you want me to be honest, Oakland's logo kind of looks like something you would see in EA Sports Creative School. Like,
yeah, it's got some sharp teeth.
Yeah, it's very, I would expect that to see in EA Sports Creative School if you were going to pick a team and name them the Bears. That's what it would look like. Like, that's what it looks like to me.
All right, then the one I hate is Duquesne.
Really? See, I kind of like the different.
What letter that is?
I like that. It's a different looking D. I liked
the different looking Ds. I don't.
Yeah, I liked, honestly, if we're being picky, I liked the old English style they used to have. I thought that was better, but I don't hate that logo.
All right.
We're talking about logos on this first page that's like Thursday and then the play-in games that'll play on Thursday, I guess, is what this is. I don't know.
It's the play-in games that go to Thursday, yeah. I just have them there holding a spot.
Sure. UVA needs to go back to their old logo. I know they paid a lot of money for somebody to redesign that logo, and apparently people...
Re-redesign it quickly, yeah.
Yeah, and people in the area know who did that, and there's people's feelings get hurt. I'm not trying to say they suck or they're bad at their jobs. I just prefer the old one better. I don't like this new one. I like the old one better. While we're at it, they should go back to the football uniforms they had in the 90s. I say that all the time whenever we talk about Virginia Tech and UVA, but that's exactly what they should do. Those were better uniforms.
There's no winning. I mean, they're all terrible.
I just...
There's no way to fix their problems.
When we're looking at these Thursday logos, I don't know if there's any.
I like McNeese. I like McNeese there. That person on a horse that's getting at it.
That reminds me of Wyoming.
Yeah, similar. I like the bulldog for Drake. It looks like he's about to get after it.
See, Drake and Samford, if you took away the words, I could mix those two up. I could mix those two up very easily.
Yeah.
I like the Creighton Blue Jay. I
That's
like
a
the
newer
Blue
logo too, and it's much improved. Yeah.
I like that. I will say, and this is going into Friday now, I guess.
I don't like the Dayton D.
Oh, with the wings behind it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have a strong opinion of it.
Okay.
I'm a different.
Friday it is. Where are we going?
Friday, Colgate, do better.
Yeah.
Honestly, if they just wanted to be branded by the toothpaste, that would be a better logo. I don't like this logo. It's just a maroon C. I think they're the Raiders, which also is a sucky name for them.
One of my favorite logos on this page is Stetson, and that's one of the different ones I had to download to throw in here. They have the hat, like a Stetson hat in the S.
Yeah.
I like it.
Old logo better, though. Their old logo was like a...
I might not know that one.
Okay. Now, the old logo was a block S with the cowboy hat on top of it. This, the cowboy hat's kind of in the middle of it. No, I don't like it in the middle of it. Put the cowboy hat on top. The old Stetson logo's better. I'm here to tell you it's better.
I like this. No. I am a sucker, as you can maybe see, I mean, more than you, our listeners can see with our Yak logo. I like when, you know, letters make something else and our letters are part of something else.
No.
And that hat being a part of that S, I think is cool. I think on Thursday we were looking at somebody. What was I looking at? And I thought it has it built in and I like that.
I don't know.
I lost it. I like when you make, it's Washington State, which I think we've talked about before. It has the W like built in there, like in the S. It's cool. So.
Oh yeah. That Cougar is fine. I'm used to that.
Yeah,
Cougar.
I like when you like do two things in one, like it's cool.
It can be okay. I don't like that. NC State should go back to the Wolf with Wolfpack written under it. The two wolves with Wolfpack written under it. That was back in the 90s too, I think. Or the other one they had was like the small N, big S, small C.
We talked about that last time we talked logos, yeah.
Yeah, that's a better logo than the one they have now. NC State has so many better logos they should go to.
I think Friday's a weak logo day.
Friday's not a great logo day.
I'm just noticing that. I think that's Stetson.
And that's not their best logo. I don't care what you say.
I like it.
Marquette, their logo looks like a generic university logo.
If it didn't say Marquette across there, I'd be like, who?
Yeah, that's another team that had a logo that was better. Their last logo was better than this one, in my opinion.
Like Dwayne Wade Marquette, yeah.
Yeah, that was better. Grambling State looks like the Green Bay Packers and the Georgia Bulldogs, which is, I've seen it. And if I see that logo without colors, that's not where I'm going. So in terms of brand awareness, I think they should pick something else.
See, I think UAB could do a lot better.
Oh, with the dragon?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't hate that.
I think if you're hating on...
We're talking about 90s logos.
If you're hating on Oakland cartoon version of a dragon, I think you could get more aggressive with
that. Yeah, but see, I like this, and this is where it's different. I don't know what Oakland's old logo used to be. I do know what UAB's old logo used to be, and I like this better.
By next week, we're gonna analyze everybody's old logos.
Honestly, if we were to go to old logos, like the UNC with the Ram walking, I like that.
You do like that.
I like that logo. Arizona with the Wildcat and the basketball, I like better too, if we're being honest. Or the Cactus logo. That's also a cool one that Arizona used to have.
They also had those old ones. We looked at Arizona before and it had like the like sunset, like the...
That's what I'm saying. There's a cactus in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I liked that one. again,
so
I
for
can't.
For second weekend, I'll get some old logos for the teams that are.
I like
left.
That. Houston, I think, has another. That's another team that has some old logos that are pretty cool. If I'm
yeah, so we'll work on that. So now, so we need to change our brackets to who we're hoping has their old logos in for next week. Next week can be harder though, because like this week I put these logos in because everybody's about to see them on the TV Thursday and Friday, so they can
that's,
hear our comments.
That's fair.
And go there next week. People are gonna have to look it up and see what these old logos look like.
And,
so we might have to use
and again,
our social media.
Like, I don't want to keep banging forward on them because they're a mid-major, they're a small school. But again, Colgate. Like, I don't like the name Raiders.
Can't
I don't
get past it.
I don't like the name Raiders. I was really disappointed when I learned they were called the Raiders last year, and yeah, I hate that logo.
I like that I didn't have to download another logo, so it was good.
I still refer to them as the Cavity Creeps. I think that's a better name than the Raiders. The Colgate Cavities. That's a better name. It's unique. Raiders. Hate it.
You're just too upset about this.
New Mexico, I feel like, had a better old logo, too. We're not going to get to see it because they're not going to be around for the next weekend. But
see, there you go. So we're screwed. Colgate.
Okay, yeah. I might have been wrong about New Mexico. Their old logo's not great either.
The Colgate on the Yahoo bracket, the Colgate logo is even, it looks like a varsity jacket patch. See, it's
Colgate
might be worse.
Raiders logo. Oh, I see that. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. Might be worse. Oh. All right. Well, I just wanted to do some of the, one of the old things we used to do on the podcast.
Yeah, I like breaking down logos. I like breaking down uniforms. I'm going to hate Oregon's uniforms during every game they're in, and Baylor. And I have both of those teams in a Final
like
Four.
Six games for you, so.
I have both those teams in a Final Four, which I'm going to hate looking at. But I just, when it comes to logos, I'm a little different. I don't mind aggressive logos, but I also, like, I don't know if there's
bear.
A logo style that I'm looking for. It needs to be something that I feel is unique to their school, one, and two, it needs to look good. And that Colgate C, get rid of the colors. This is the thing, right? If your logo is black and white, can I tell who you are? If that logo is black and white, I don't know the Cubs. Am I looking at the Cubs? No. Oh, it's college sports. I don't know. Who cares? Like, and that you don't want me to look at your logo and say, who cares?
Especially not you. I mean, we gotta impress Joe. That's why we're all here. I'm looking for Oakland's old logos.
What if they don't have one? That's always been their logo.
They do.
No. What are they, the Grizzlies?
They only go back to 98, though.
The Golden Grizzlies.
Yeah, the 98, they had like a bear with a body behind it going up over OU.
Oh, I kind of like
2013,
that. I kind of like the 2002-2008 logo. I like this logo even less now that I've seen that logo. Can we talk about Kentucky's logo? That's another one back in the 90s was better. With the Wildcat reaching around the UK, clawing at the basketball. That's a top logo. And now they've just got a UK. All right. I'm not that big of a fan of England.
All right. Some old logos next week for whoever's left. The Sweet 16 of old logos. That's
I don't know, man. I can't help it. I like what I like, and sometimes things were better in the 90s when you had cartoon animals doing stuff with the sport.
Sure. I do. We haven't talked about this on the podcast. I mentioned it to you the other day. Here locally, our mascots, Joe and I's favorite logo listeners, or
favorite
logo,
mascot.
Favorite mascot, favorite live action at the football stadiums primarily, sometimes basketball, mascot standing in front of us, our favorite Buffalo Gap. Those red eyes, those red piercing eyes that stared into your soul and caused not only their opponent to get penalties, but also their own team to get useless penalties. That's how scary their mascot is. They have a different costume mascot out at Buffalo Gap now, and I hate that.
Thinking about it, a lot of the schools don't have mascots. So when you say our favorite,
We've had few to choose from. There was
I'm struggling to think of one other mascot.
There was a Riverheads head roaming around for a time, but then there was an incident that re-retired that thing where they weren't going to allow that costume to go out anymore. So that was a fun one. I guess I've seen something at Wilson, but that might have been 20 years ago.
I don't remember seeing one at Wilson. I'm not saying they don't have one. I just don't remember seeing it.
I think we should require the county and city schools local here, too.
I'm okay.
No, we need them. We need a little giant.
I just want Buffalo Gap to go back. Well, that's just a normal person. I just want Buffalo Gap to go back to the old mascot.
There's a dude over there. Yeah, he's a little giant.
And he's just wearing with a yellow crew neck sweatshirt with a purple W on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the logo. Okay.
I don't know what the storm's going to do. You just have like a tornado, when we dressed up for Twister for Halloween, we put our middle kid in a tomato cage with like white foam wrapped around it to make it look like a tornado. And it looks great because obviously my wife did it. So it looked awesome. Like, what is that? Your mascot is like some dude in a tomato cage.
Their logo is like a Spartan-esque kind of guy with a shield. So
I've seen other ones with like cloud whipping storm.
Yeah, I know.
I have seen the dude that's bringing the heat storm.
And he's holding a lightning bolt. I don't see. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I guess you could have that. A Zeus looking guy. I don't know.
Yeah. I want to keep him away from, gladiator type looking thing. We need to.
Well, Riverheads does. They're not allowed to have a mascot anymore. That's their fault.
We need to develop a new one. So to refresh in that, because we don't. The old one just comes back with some bad stories. So it wasn't that long ago. It might have been right before you started with us. So
that's fine. Yeah, I don't know. I am disappointed to learn that Buffalo Gap has a new mascot. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I don't like it. Well, we're in the D block, and speaking of being out at Buffalo Gap, I was there all weekend. We wrapped up, finally, our Little League basketball season wrapped up. It ended with 2 weeks of All-Star. It was 2 weeks of practice to lead up into the one tournament. Buffalo Gap does a great job out there. Hosting the tournament. Coach Morgan is leading the efforts out there. We just had him on the podcast a couple weeks ago. He's running around from gym to gym, keeping everybody organized. He hires all the referees, all the score tables are fully manned. Everything is organized. They really have rules in place to help keep things on schedule. So given the facilities they're working with, the old gym there, the smaller gym is tight and it's not the best. But hey, they're doing a great job working with it the best they can. So all the positive things to say about who's leading that tournament and that they put it on. Our personal experience was a good one. The girls practice hard. We had practices. It was a collection of all-stars from the Little League for the age group. And all the kids were fifth graders. There was one fourth grader on our team. And they played really well together and did well, and they lost the opening game in a tight one. So it put us in a double elimination tournament up against the wall. But we came back and won, and then we play another game. And I might skip a game in here, but Sunday, we're playing Sunday, and that was my big thing. We got to get to Sunday. We got to get, even after losing the first game, find a way to get to Sunday. We did that. So I kind of felt a little more relaxed. And I'm assistant coaching. I'm not head coaching, so I'm not taking all that pressure. As trying to lead these kids into the right spots to find success. Well, on Sunday we get in a game and it's low scoring at this level. And they're quick games. The clock's running even during foul shots. So it's quick games. There's a lot of games where no one scores 10 points. It's not uncommon. So we're down 10-0. And it's like, man, we got to Sunday. We're going to be out quick. Our girls fight back. They got aggressive in a half-court defense. And then the fourth quarter, when they could press, they absolutely ate them up. And then one of the girls that was on my team this year, we force overtime. We get a bucket late. We force overtime. It's tied. No one gets any more. We were down 10-0. We go into overtime 12-12. And then there's the opening tip of overtime. And it tip it right to one of the players that I got to coach this year. And she caught the ball, dribbled a couple times towards the basket, laid it right in the hoop. Overtime lasted all of 3 seconds. And it was the game winner. And I was so happy for that girl that she was able to have that moment. You know, that's what we've all done in the driveway at some point, is the, you know, last second shot, overtime bucket. And I say it was overtime. It was double overtime, sudden death. Sorry, that was a big part of this story that I definitely skipped over. Double overtime, which because of the scheduling, they want you out of the gym. So next person scores wins, but it's off a tip-off. That is how this went down. The overtime period, I believe, it was overtime in the 10-10. They both scored buckets in the overtime, and then we get to double overtime. Sorry I messed that story up. But the end is just the same. Sudden death overtime, tipped it to her. She took it right to the bucket. She had that glorious moment, game-winning shot for her team. She immediately knew what she had done and was very emotional with it and so happy that she was able to help the team get over that and get past that round. And so that was a really fun moment as being a part of those girls' lives and coaching, to share that with them and to celebrate with them out in the hallway and then get to play longer that day. So that was a lot of fun. So I wanted to highlight that part of the story. We did come up short in the semifinal. We finished third in the whole tournament. And then the team that took us out there went on to win it. It was a good experience for these girls. They experienced winning and a big emotional high, and then also took the loss well, and they were still able to, have the pride that they had played well after that. No one was too down after it. So I think we kept them in the right balance of wanting to win, but also accepting it's a sport and things don't always work out. So it was a good lesson for the girls. And these, I think this week kind of really reinforced, this is a group of girls. This is 10 girls. Like I said, 9 of them in fifth grade. A lot of them are going to play a lot of basketball together for the next 7 years, middle school and then high school and, whatever teams work out between now and then, but they're going to be around them. And I think the parents were realizing we'll be around each other. And it was really a nice group of girls. So, that was our experience with one Riverheads team. There was a lot of Riverheads teams playing in finals in this tournament. So that was great for the community. But also, I say this as Riverheads, that's where I live. That's where my kids go. A lot of other good teams, a lot of good sportsmanship I saw out there. I saw a lot of coaches, especially that we were coaching against, that were very nice and, there for the right reasons, coaching the right way, no negative comments, no hounding the officials. So I really appreciate it. As a whole, that was primarily the Augusta County schools, and then Rockbridge was up here. It seemed like, you read the articles from around the world. You read some local articles where coaches are getting burnt out because of the parents, and the referees are getting burnt out because of the comments from the stands. It didn't seem like that was what this weekend was. So I really appreciate seeing that. And while I gave a good positive story about our Riverheads team at, fifth grade girls' age, I'm sure there was a lot of stories around the county. And I'll open it up to any listeners out there, anybody, in there. If you had experienced that tournament this weekend and you have a good story, share it. Because I think it's, as much as the newspaper headlines like to read off some kind of bad story or bad experience, let's talk about some of the good ones and how, this team won or this team didn't win but still had a great experience like we did. So share some of those, because I think that's a good peak of the season, good way to end off the season with a good all-star tournament. But now everybody moves on to softball and soccer and off-season stuff, and that's where we're at. But it was a good wrap-up to the season.
Yeah, I'm glad that you had a positive end of the season, and I know you were busy this weekend, and that was...
I didn't even brag about how great my daughter played. See, that's why I'm keeping the sportsmanship alive. I'm not even bragging how great she played all weekend.
Okay. Well, but that's good, I guess.
Now, if her grandmas get on this podcast, they would be quick to say that.
I'm sure. I guess what was dominating my weekend was watching a lot of these conference tournaments, but also had some friends over. We did a game night, and then we started a new tradition where we want to watch a movie. We're calling it our quarterly movie night. So once every 3 months or so, we're going to watch a movie. And normally I get on here and I recommend good movies, good shows that I think people would like. This is not one of those times. We knew what we were doing. There was a movie that, in between watching, I don't know, some sporting event, when it would go to commercial, we would flip the channel to the Sci-Fi channel, which had this movie on, and it was terrible. And we watched it in, you know, 2-3 minute blocks.
This is like a Sharknado quality or what?
You know, it's in the same vein in terms of the quality of the movie. I'd say the special effects are probably a little bit better than Sharknado, but
okay.
I don't know what that's saying. This movie is
it's a low bar. Yeah.
This movie is called Ginger Snaps. It's it's bad. It's bad. It takes place in Canada. And again, I'm not spoiling anything here. In case you also love terrible horror movies. The premise is these two high school age girls in Canada who are very emo and goth. You're following them around, and there's one named Ginger, and Ginger gets attacked by a werewolf and then starts becoming a werewolf. And her sister is trying to, you know, cure her or whatever. The scene, though, that we did not see, and see, we didn't even see this one. We had seen Ginger Snaps 2 Unleashed. That's what we had seen parts of. We wanted to see the first one to see, you know, all right, we can't go into the second one. We got to see the first one, probably. I'll be honest. I left with more questions than answers. But it's, again, without giving anything away, there is a scene early in the movie where they're playing field hockey, I guess because that's safer than ice hockey. And it appears to be a PE class. For whatever reason, the boys aren't playing. They're in the bleachers. And they start playing field hockey in PE class. And one of the main characters gets cross-checked into the body. And this is where I will warn you, if you're a person that doesn't like to see dead animals, you're going to have a bad time. Gets cross-checked and falls into a dog that is dead and has been gutted. That apparently no one noticed until this girl falls face first into it, which everyone in the room kind of had the same reaction. One, how do you not notice that? Two, it's not like that just appeared. Like it was very much gone and you're like, oh, okay. And then the third thing that was shocking was the reaction from the people in the crowd. One of the boys says, that's the fourth one this week. And I was like, excuse me? Where are the police here? You never see a cop at all during any of this movie, which is amazing. Because there are multiple times. Oh, I take that back. The police do make one appearance. Because there's one part where it would get pretty hard for there not to be police involved. But again, if you like bad horror movies, I go for it. It's on Tubi. It's free TV. It's free for a reason. The movie is called Ginger Snaps. At some point in April, May, or June, we're going to try to get together again, and we're going to try to probably watch Ginger Snaps 2 Unleashed. Some of the dialogue in this, I will, again, in case the dead animals wasn't enough of a warning, don't watch this in front of kids. Some of the dialogue is very... I mean, whoever wrote the script...
Up until now, I thought we were going to sit down as a family, yeah.
Some of the dialogue in the script was a choice. Like, it's not as bad as the dialogue in Hobo with a Shotgun, but it's not great.
How about Hunchback 2? Compare it to that.
Hunchback 2? See, you're trying to get me in trouble now because of the title of the subtitle that my brother and I gave that movie. Which, to be fair for us, was before the disaster at the Cathedral of Notre Dame, which was Hunchback 2, This Church is on Fire. but because I think the church catches on fire in The Hunchback of Notre Dame 1. But yeah. It's, look, this movie is interesting. And I knew that the dialogue in Gingersnaps 2 at one point is interesting in the sense that, like, they said something that I was like, I can't believe that's the script. And it's on TV. but yeah, I mean, it's, look, if you're into cheesy, bad horror movies, this is right up your alley. I would recommend, for starters, and this is one you probably can watch with a family, Troll 2. Wow. That is a classic. In terms of bad horror movies, that's like a cult classic. That's an amazing
movie. So you're not talking about the animated Trolls movie with Justin Timberlake and Anna Kendrick?
No,
the new one that just came out.
And I know what you're thinking. Joe, you watched Gingersnaps 1 because you didn't want to be left clueless about Gingersnaps 2. I've seen Troll 1 and Troll 2. I can promise you, you don't need to see Troll 1 to see Troll 2. They are related in no way. At no point is there a crossover connection.
It's just more.
It's just the director decided, I'm going to make a movie, and I'm going to call it Troll 2. I don't think it's the same director that did Troll 1. I don't think it's the same studio. It's weird. That whole thing is weird. There's actually a documentary called The Worst Movie Ever Made, The Best Worst Movie Ever Made, that's about Troll 2. That's also on Tubi, by the way. Troll 2. Watch. That is my recommendation to our audience. Troll 2. Go out on Tubi. Watch that. Enjoy yourself. Just know that you're sitting down to watch a bad movie, so you're ready to laugh, because it's, the acting is bad, the dialogue is bad, but it's not bad in like a suggestive cover earmuffs way. Gingersnaps is very much that. But again, we watched it, we had a good time, we laughed, we played some games, which was good, and we had a good time. And again, sometime in April, May, or June, we're going to watch Gingersnaps 2, and I'll tell you a little more about that. I am curious at how a Gingersnaps 2 is going to happen, but I guess we're going to find out.
Hey, you got to live.
Got to live.
All right. Well, I'm looking, this is holiday week in the McRae house. So I'm excited that we've been able to.
The holiday was last week. The holiday was last weekend. They chose not to have the tournament on a holiday this year. I don't know why.
Yeah, I looked back at the calendar, and this, you know, this is actually normal how the calendar works here, but that's fine. We are happy that we're going to have all the TVs set up and people are going to be cycling through, I think, including not even just friends and family, acquaintances also as well might be coming by. So that's awesome. We're looking forward to that. And if anybody else is, you know, trying to compete with best March Madness setup, and I would have to say you're competing against me, send pictures our way. We want to see your multi-screen setup, your big brackets, whatever you got going on. And it even if it's not superior to what I always brag about, if it's still awesome, I want to see it, because maybe I can, you know, steal that idea and add that to what I'm doing. We all need to help each other on optimizing this holiday, one of the grandest holidays of the year. So we're looking forward to that. We'll be back next week on the Experts Podcast to talk about the results of the weekend in the men's tournament, the women's tournament, the NIT, the WBIT, all of it, where our teams are playing. We'll be talking about it. Probably talk a little bit about some of the spring sports as we'll be 1 week closer to district season starting. And we do hope to have Barber on to talk about another early exit for UVA basketball. So you can follow along at Yak Sports Pod.
Join the brackets.
On Twitter. Go ahead.
The bracket challenges.
You can find invites to those bracket challenges through Yahoo at Yak Sports Pod and on Twitter and Facebook, or you can just search for Yak Sports Podcast at the bracket site for Yahoo on the men's and women's side. If you're having any trouble with that, interact with us social media. I'll get you hooked up. YakSportsPod@gmail.com is also a great direct way to get a hold of us. Make sure you tell your friends what we're doing here on this podcast, talking about the sports that matter to you, the Augusta County Sports Fan. We're available on Podbean, Apple, and Spotify. And we'll be back next week to talk about the sports around Augusta County.
You've been listening to Yak Sports, your Augusta County Sports Podcast.